Whether it's the fear of heights,
don't look down,
closed spaces,
I feel like I can't breathe,
spiders, or clowns. You name it, and I can almost guarantee there's a technical term for the phobia. But nowadays, there seems to be a prevalent fear that does not have an official label. Heather Walsh of Focus on the Family Ireland says that doesn't make it any less real.
There seems to be a commitment phobia around in relation to everything, like even just because communication is so ready and everybody's texting everybody all the time, they won't even commit to meet somebody somewhere in case there's a better option comes up in the interim, you know? Like when I was young, you had to turn up at 7 o'clock if you said you were going to be there because there was no way of getting in touch. Now, you know, as well, I'll meet you at 8. Well, it's kind of I'll meet you at 8 unless I get a better offer between now and then. And so there's a sort of a commitment phobia that's around in society, which I think it's very, very sad, because if you take that kind of attitude into marriage, you're doomed to disaster really from the start, because marriage is a commitment. And when we make vows about marriage, we are making huge commitments. So commitment really, it's kind of a dirty word nowadays really. It makes people feel maybe a bit trapped, but without commitment, marriage isn't really going to go anyplace.
You're very welcome along to family.ie. I'm Ronan Johnston. Last time we began our four-part series called Marriage by Design, our programmes are based largely on the research of care for the family. Gamophobia is the fear of marriage, by the way. But if you're in a committed relationship at the moment and moving in the direction of marriage already, these programmes are for you. Oftentimes, though, couples approach the altar with either unrealistic fears or unrealistic expectations. Before we move on, I should warn you that these programs are obviously intended for mature audiences. So if you have young children nearby, you might want to make sure they're out of earshot for the next half hour or so. Some of the topics we're about to cover will probably be not suitable for younger listeners. In our first program, Stephen Carty, Heather Walsh and Ger Shanahan welcomed four pre-marriage counsellors, our own Stuart Kenny and his wife, Breda, along with Alan and Diane Morris of RelationshipCentral.org. The panel began by highlighting a few of the critical foundations for a healthy marriage. Today, we're going to look at three major issues that couples should definitely talk about, both before and after they say, I do. Here's Ger.
There are real issues that have to be considered when we are looking at marriage. There's going to be issues like children, sex, finances. What about those?
Yeah, some people talk about sex as being kind of like the icing on the cake. I look on sex as part of the ingredient of the cake, and it's mixed in with all part of it. Sometimes it can be the barometer of how the relationship is going and whether it's going through good times or bad times. As I say, sex is a beautiful thing. God created it. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. And one of the things that a lot of people, through the length of their marriage, they may have a problem when it comes to sex. And it does happen to pretty well. Diane went to a seminar and says 100% of people go through a time when sex is an issue within their own relationship. But don't be embarrassed about it. It's a thing that you can be dealt with and worked through.
I think it's communication at the deepest part of our personality. And it's just being intimate and vulnerable with another. But again, talking about it is very important. Your fears, what you like, what you don't like, what's acceptable, what's not. Very important to talk about it.
Just on the issue of sex, there are four myths that I just like to mention, because it can be a delusion sometimes what's there. These are they. Sex is always absolutely fabulous is one myth. Second one is that sex is always spontaneous. And again, that's a delusion. It's the investment and work that you put into it that makes it happen. Third one is working on our relationships doesn't matter. And fourthly, that we are the only ones with problems. So it's an area that's worth working on. And I mean, the difference even between men and women is so startling and so striking that in the course of what we've said earlier in this program and in the previous program, the idea of preparing well for marriage helps couples or intending couples to get married to realize that this is an area that they'll encounter and it'll be normal. And they'll work their way through it. And by having the quality of relationship that they have, which means that they're intimate with each other at a relationship level, means that when this issue comes up, they can deal with it.
We also have a thing where it talks about sex when it comes to women. And we have a box which has lots of little kind of dials and switches and things like that. And when it comes to men, there's an off and on switch. Yeah. Sometimes men, it can be the destination, you know, conquest, you know, and Sometimes it can be the journey for the women, and sometimes it's a compromise between the two sometimes, and sometimes it's maybe doing the other way for the other person because that's the way they like it.
The evidence is supporting the fact that married couples have better sex and are much more happy in their sex life than people who have sex outside marriage or those who have affairs and so on, that their sense of well-being is much higher. And there's a lot of research to prove this, that married couples have the best sex lives of all.
You wouldn't believe that, mind you, if you looked at media.
A 12-year-old child said to a teacher the other day, the teacher was telling me, she said, well, years ago people believed that sex outside marriage was sin. But it's not, sure it's not. And the teacher said, who is a committed Christian herself, said, why do you think it's not a sin? And she said, because everybody's doing it.
Well, even if everyone's doing it, the reality is, as human beings, we're not created, and our psychosexual makeup is such that when we have sex with other people, and even with the person we marry, outside of a committed relationship, there is a psychological difference. And even for people who have lived together before marriage and then decide to become married, there is still a step change in the relationship, because it's not simply a physical thing.
Right.
Marriage is not simply a physical thing. And that's what one of the things we were talking about earlier, expectations and getting our needs met. Marriage is more than a guaranteed access to a regular sex life. Marriage is a commitment to another human being. And sooner or later, that reality has got to be faced. And better to face it sooner.
And the reality of it is, it comes down to love, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If we really love each other, then that covers a multitude. That's really what it's all about, loving each other and considering the other person. Mm-hmm. And eventually it will work and will be wonderful.
A good sex life has to be worked at.
Yep.
You can't just demand it from another person.
That's right.
And it doesn't happen automatically.
You're listening to family.ie and the second in our four-part series of programs called Marriage by Design. In just a moment, we'll highlight another big issue. It really should be discussed by couples preparing for marriage. Children. I know, how could those little angels possibly cause stress, right? And still to come, we'll explore another needed talking point. Money. We need to take a quick break now, but you can find more articles, links, radio archives and resources to help your family thrive at family.ie. That's www.family.ie. Welcome once again to today's edition of family.ie. Continuing our series on marriage by design, we're looking at three major issues. These are things that really need to be discussed by couples who are preparing for marriage. Before the break, the team talked about some of the common myths surrounding a healthy sex life within marriage. Like I mentioned, we'll have more articles and resources available at family.ie than we possibly have time for today. So on to the next big issue on the list. Soon to be wed couples really should talk about this in advance of marriage, because it tends to follow the first, but not always.
I know one couple who got married and suddenly one realized that the other didn't want to have any children. And they hadn't discussed it before they got married. They didn't even discuss that one didn't want children, the other one did. And, you know, you need to kind of look at that and how you're actually how long are you going to wait before you have children as well? Like some people say, we wait 2 years. Some people want children straight away. So you need to discuss these things before you get married so that you can set up a good framework of where you're going to go with it. And are you going to have 10 children? Are you going to have 2? You know, things like that. Some people come from big families and they like a lot of children, and some people come from the 2 or whatever, you know.
We also have the scenarios, Alan, that some people are coming into a marriage with children already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might already have children, either because they're widowed or because they've already had children from another relationship, or they're separated or divorced or whatever it may be. And life is a bit more complicated.
And my children are arguing with our children.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the reality is that those issues need to be thought about and discussed and work through, so that this relationship, which is designed to be a great relationship for the husband and wife, doesn't come unstuck because there's problems between the children from previous relationships or previous marriages.
Yes, and another good conversation would be how your life will change when you have children. Who's going to do the caring for the children? How's it going to be shared? And what about hobbies and time and finances? That will all be affected and everything changes. Talk about the difference that that will make.
And also now with people getting married later as well, the actual statistics are now more and more people are finding it hard to have children. I think it's up to one in seven now can't have children naturally and have to kind of either try the IVF route or adopt and things like that. And the challenges of that, and that delays things further because they're getting married later. And then sometimes it can be years before you can actually adopt a child, so you're much older in age and things like that.
Another issue for couples to explore that they don't end up having conflict on is in the area of finance. I mean, what if one of the couple is a spender and the other one is a saver? Mm-hmm. So, you know, naturally you're set up for, you know, some interesting conversations and some dialogue and maybe some conflict.
No, it should be very straightforward. The spender can spend all the saver's money.
Well, I recognise through our relationship, I think at the start of our relationship, I was the actual saver and Diane was the spender. But later on in our relationship, I think I became the spender and Diane became the saver. It was very interesting that. But trying to work together and being in tune with the finances, like, you know, pressures come on us financially when something happens, and how we deal with that pressure and how we're in tune with each other when something big may come along, medical bill or house mortgage or interest rates, all the things that come on during our life married together. And it sometimes can be complicated and be stressful, and just being in tune with each other and knowing that where we are together in it, but also recognizing that sometimes if someone's a bit tight, if you're a bit tight, recognize that maybe your husband or wife might be just a generous person, and sometimes looking at it, that they're just simply generous, and maybe embracing that they're a generous person and they see and they want to do that, and sometimes turning that around and maybe embracing that and not just saying, oh, we have to save, maybe saying they are just very generous and let them be generous when it's okay to be generous.
We have to kind of find ways of just naturally allowing our relationships to develop. Yes, we need to talk about it, but please not in a stilted way where we'll tick it off the list.
Right.
Observing people's behaviour often tells us an awful lot more than they'll ever say out of their mouths.
And you do have to give them space, each other space, for, you know, that you're not kind of controlling the other person financially.
And that's very important.
Yes.
Yeah, because people are marrying later now, so they've In a good scenario where you've maybe managed to get a job after you came out of college, and that's getting harder and harder, but if you've had a job for maybe 10 years, maybe you've had your own income and you've been able to manage it and you've been able to have your designer shoes and your whatever you want, and the guy's been able to have his motorbike and all his bits and all the bits and pieces that go along with it, you know, that's a hard place to come in and have somebody else kind of say, well, now you can't do that anymore. So I think there needs to be a great tenderness and sensitivity to each other when that happens, because when we were married in much younger years, we'd never had those years of having loads of money. Well, speaking personally, I'd never had a bean.
But I think we're dealing probably at the moment with a generation used to living on credit, and they really haven't got an awareness of the basic disciplines that are required. We're about to have a very sharp and rude readjustment forced upon us in that regard, and people are going to have to adjust to prioritise and how they spend whatever resources they have. And I think it can come as a shock if it turns out that, you know, expensive bags and shoes are regarded as an absolute essential of life for the woman, and maybe expensive cars are regarded as a necessity of life for a man. The reality is that adjustment is going to have to be made. And I'm actually very keen on the idea of somebody sitting down before marriage and going through a few of these key issues in an intentional way, to use the word that's been used earlier, because I'm a firm believer it will not happen spontaneously. And there are some things that are really essential to talk about before marriage. And these are these key issues we're talking about now. And finance is a very important one. It's not that you want to drain the relationship of intimacy, romance and all the beautiful characteristics. But if you're living from hand to mouth for the rest of your life because you can't manage your finances, there's not a lot of fun in that, I can tell you. Because when we were younger, we were living pretty much on the edge for a long time. And it's great to read about it in books. It's not quite so much fun when you're having to live it through the lived experience of your marriage. And it definitely limits what you can do. And you have to look at the reality that if you're going to have children, and if that's part of your plan and hopes, well, you're going to have resources, because children cost money, lots of it, and for a long time. And you just, at that stage, you can't suddenly decide we're going to change our financial structures, because you're already into a very well-established pattern of handling or mishandling or not attempting even to address your finance. And I don't think anyone in Ireland after the last few years ever wants to get themselves into the state we're in at the moment ever again.
Ah, yes. As King Solomon said, a prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. This is family.ie. And that's really what these programs are all about, foreseeing some of the common stresses of marriage and taking wise precautions. So far, on today's discussion of marriage by design, we've looked at the big three: sex, children, and finances. After the break, the team will wrap up today's program with a few final thoughts for couples considering marriage. By the way, we'd love to hear from you. Our text comment line is 086 251 6886 or email us anytime, radio@family.ie. And stay tuned for the final segment of today's program in just a moment. Again, contact us via text at 086 251 6886 or radio@family.ie. Welcome to the final segment of today's family.ie. This is the second episode in our series called Marriage by Design. Today we're looking at three of the major issues, and couples who are headed for marriage would really do well to discuss them before the wedding day. Before the break, we were talking about the issue of money. Who's the spender? Who's the saver? Who will make sure the bills are paid? But Heather, a couple might be listening now thinking, ah, sure, we don't have to worry about money yet. We don't have any.
I think actually the period leading up to marriage is a time when you have to talk about money, because you need so much of it. And everything has to be bought or fixed or prepared for, or maybe you're trying to get a home. It's inevitable that the conversation about money is going to have to be raised. And I would say, you know, there needs to be some sensitivity without shying away from it. Sure, to agree with you, you have to face the facts, but gently maybe.
Okay. So summing up is, now we've had sex, kids and money, let's have a cup of tea.
And chocolate.
Isn't he disgraceful? Isn't that disgraceful?
Okay. Right. So, as you can see, this talking about marriage is really working on our intimacy as a group, right? So, it really works. It really works. Okay.
It's really valuable in a relationship between a man and a woman who are getting married or who are already married, that they learn to laugh together and they learn to cry together. If they can do that and it works for them, it does bring them together and it enhances the intimacy.
Well, I think one of the things you can expect is somebody's there for you and you're there for somebody. And that matters a whole lot. The older you get, that matters an awful lot, because you can go through the roller coaster of marriage, family, career, all that kind of roller coaster, and get to a point, which is where we are, for example, where we're empty nesters, to use the marketing term. Our children mm-hmm. are gone. Mm-hmm. They all live far away from us. There's just the two of us. And the reality is that if we hadn't worked at our own relationship to that time, we'd now be staring at each other across the kitchen table saying, so what's next? Mm-hmm. And there ain't any next. If your whole life is consumed with your career and your children and your school runs and all these kinds of stuff, that's external. You have to focus on your own relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's not just a selfish act at all, because again, it's very clear, and all the research supports around the world, children need the stable environment of the biological mother and the biological father to give the best possible outcome in terms of their own growing up. They have a security. They watch the parents relating and dealing with issues. Mm-hmm. And one of the important things they do is they watch how the parents work out their own differences.
That's
and
right.
By watching, they learn how to deal with conflict and differences in their own lives and challenges in their own lives. Yeah. And so if you take that away from them, you're actually taking away one of the greatest learning opportunities that the next generation has. And nobody who has children needs to be told. Children learn very fast and you cannot con them. They know the truth.
Yeah, they do.
Even if
you don't
have
any secrets from children,
that's
actually.
That's absolutely right.
It's no secrets. The children will know the secrets in the family.
Absolutely.
And actually, children do what they see more than what they're told.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yes. So,
So yeah, that's for me, that'll be one of the big things, that as you go through life, this relationship is going to last only on the basis it's a relationship between you and your husband or wife. And it has to be built on that. And you work at that, and there are benefits that flow from that for everyone else around the family. And we have seen in our own circumstances where it affects people around the family, which is quite interesting. Mm. Our relationship and their relationship, for good or ill, affects us, because we are connected as family members. And whether we all believe the same thing or not about marriage, how we live our marriages all affects us. I mean, the obvious thing is if part of the family has a bust up in a marriage, you end up trying to pick up pieces and help out people and help the children and doing so that affects every other part of the family. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't operate in a vacuum, and nobody does. So one of the big things I see working at a good marriage and getting a good result, which you will get if you work at it, is the bonus, as it were, for yourself, your children, and for the family circle.
We find, I think, a lot where couples we deal with, and I talk with a lot of people, actually haven't been told things about marriage and relationships, and haven't really understood reality, haven't been told the facts about marriage and about life, actually, by parents very often. And that is a tragedy, because they go in then with, again, unrealistic expectations, because there hasn't been reality. There hasn't been straight talking. Again, having the no secrets thing. Nothing should be taboo.
And what we'll get into in a little bit more detail in the following program is the whole area of disagreeing with each other. Being free to disagree and have different points of view, and not to fall out and to destroy the intimacy in the relationship, is vital, because we are going to disagree on things from time to time. And how do we fight fair? How do we do that well, so that we preserve the relationship while not necessarily agreeing with each other on everything?
You've been listening to Family.ie, and this has been the second in our four-part series called Marriage by Design. Our series is based largely on the research of Care for the Family. You can find more information about their pre-marriage program, podcasts of this radio series, and other topics we've covered in recent months at family.ie. Just click on the picture of the radio for audio archives of our series, including The Five Love Languages.
Well, my wife and I had a very difficult time in the early days of our marriage. 6 months into our marriage, we were both miserable and had the thought, maybe I married the wrong person. And sometimes I simply say to couples, I understand you've given up hope. You don't think there's any hope for your marriage. So just go on my hope. I believe there's hope for you. And I really enjoy helping other couples learn how to connect and how to work as a team.
Secure daughters, confident sons.
Women naturally have power over men. Isn't that right, Ger?
Yeah, sorry.
That's what you're supposed to say. Well, sorry. Thank you. Thank
sorry,
you.
Sorry, Heather.
That's okay. But what are the genuine female...
I'm just stunned. Yeah. What I'm discovering here is my inability to resist what you've just said.
That's my natural power over you.
Yes.
The impact of birth order on family dynamics.
These principles do apply, but you have to be aware of how they apply and keep an eye that the changing situation doesn't edge some children out. So it's a complex matter. But then, whoever said parenting was easy?
People who don't parent.
That's actually a very good point, yes. And they talk theory. Yeah. You know, come back and talk to me in 40 years.
Again, that's www.family.ie, and we think you'll find our website has loads of resources that can be of help to you no matter what your situation. Single, married, separated, divorced, stop by www.family.ie today. You'll also find links to follow us on both Facebook and Twitter. So thanks once again to Alan and Diane Morris of RelationshipCentral.org, as well as Stuart and Breda Kenny for their contributions to this series. And on behalf of Stephen Cardy, Heather Walsh and Ger Shanahan, I'm Ronan Johnston. We invite you to join us again next time, right here, for more about marriage by design. Until then, slán go fóill. Thank you for listening to Family.ie. Families strengthening families.